Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are, End Times Friday.
Good morning.
This will be airing July the 5th, which would be the Friday after July 4th, which happens to be a Thursday. We did do a devotion on July 4th, freedom and the life of God. Mm-hmm. We just would urge everybody to go back. If you didn't get a chance, go back and listen to it. It's just a short 15-minute devotion, but it's to illustrate the beauty of the founding fathers who set up a God-ordained country. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about setting up what we call a theocracy or a Christian nation, but rather it was setting up the joy of freedom and the ability for people to choose and for believers to be able to keep living that way and present it to others so they could choose. Mm-hmm. God says, it's just an individual choice. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. And we've had a privilege in America being in a free country that had choice, mm-hmm. And that's the joy of celebration. And we know that that's being challenged these days where there's not a continual respect for each other's choices on both sides of it, mm-hmm. by the way.
Absolutely.
Even the Christian church has taken more of a law approach as opposed to you should, as opposed to let me just process with you truth. But choice is important. And as we talk about end times, choices are going to be coming up, even when ones that may be difficult to make mm-hmm. about choosing God over the world, because the world is going to offer certain things that people are going to fall into, and God's going to say, no, walk with me and trust me and don't choose the world, but choose me. So, mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that.
I won't go into that a whole lot right now, but just as you're saying that, it's reminding me that, as we bump up against those choices, it reveals idols in our heart, right?
Yes.
When we have idols of comfort and convenience, those choices are going to be harder. When we have, different idols will surface as we're having to make a choice, and we're going to have to either allow God to root those idols out, or we'll bow to them and pay some penalty for that, right?
Yeah. And talk a little bit about that. When you say idols, what does that look like? And why is that a potential challenge for us?
I think, I'll take comfort and convenience as an example, just because I think that is one that definitely, at least what I see, I know I've dealt with that personally in different occasions. And I know that is one that I see as a real hurdle as end times do approach, when things that we are used to getting, even look at COVID challenged the idols of comfort and convenience, right? Mm-hmm. There were things that we were used to being able to do or perform or get quickly without a lot of interference that suddenly we could not do. So put that, fast forward to an end time setting, and you've a choice to take the mark of the beast or not take the mark of the beast. And taking the mark of the beast, if you're bowing to the idol of comfort and convenience, you would be tempted to take that because, certainly God wouldn't want me to not be able to XYZ. This looks so much easier. It's not changing my allegiance. It's not doing this, but I can get these things and it's more comfortable for me. It's more convenient for me. It's revealing a heart pattern. And the idol really is whatever that is, whether it's comfort, convenience, or 1,000 other things that it could be. But the idol is something where we aren't willing to yield fully to God and see what he has to say. Instead, we're staying on self and saying, this thing is so important to me that certainly I don't need to go to neutral on it.
Yep.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
And so the inability to go to neutral on something reveals that heart idol. What am I staying in self on? What am I not willing to see what God has to say and follow his lead?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be I think idols are going to be tested big time and revealed big time.
Yeah. Go to Psalm 96 and read verses 1 through 9.
Sure. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Yeah, and so some of the things you mentioned are kind of describes here, and that is that we are to declare his glory and his marvelous works, to those around us, so that if we declare glory, we declare marvelous works, what must be true of us?
We must be experiencing the blessings and the bounty of God, right?
Yeah. So that it's not talking about God, but rather it's bearing witness to the marvelous works that we get to experience. You and I, we just taped a guest spot with John Presco, and he shared with us a supernatural story about air conditioners that was God's marvelous work, because he talked about, and this is something else that you mentioned about neutrality, is that it says, come to God with a offering. Well, our offering is surrender of our will to God.
Right.
That's our offering. All the offerings are all intended to, do you trust God? And are you willing to surrender your will, your real offering to God, so that he can fulfill it? And when you do, you go to neutrality, you go to seeking God's will, he will perform supernatural, marvelous works.
Absolutely.
And it's a splendor and majesty. So the grand, the spectacular, the phenomenal life of God, supernatural life of God, will be realized. So that as we're headed into both tough times, and what I saw, when I just say tough times, tougher times, where instability becomes more prominent as opposed to stability. So that we all desire stability. We'd like to make sure that our jobs are going to be stable. It would be nice if the culture were stable. It would be nice if everything, our families were stable. It provides a sense of security and peace.
Right.
That is healthy. And of course, that would be the ideal. But in the environment, the world, that's getting more instable. And instable means culturally, we can't rely on anything being the same. So our kids and grandkids are facing choices about the world, about internet, about pornography, gay, transgender, all this stuff that they're facing. Well, they're not in a stable place at all, because the people around them, even Christians, are not stable. So that's unstable. So, and the economy is getting more and more unstable, which we'll talk about. As the world heads toward one world government, that's all going to become unstable and different. And so without neutrality to trust God, we can compromise with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it, that it becomes an idol because I value something, in other words, above God.
Right.
And it could be my own sense of security that, yeah, if the end comes and there's a mark of the beast, but it requires me to lose my stability, I might choose the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, rationalize it away because it's become an idol. And the interesting thing about an idol is that, well, why did it become an idol? Well, because we never learned to follow God.
Right.
And trust
well,
God.
Well, and it's interesting, even as you just talk about the word stability and you think about the things that we seek stability in and the things that we want to find stability in, yet the only true source of stability is God, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the only thing that we are promised there is stability in.
Yeah.
And so even as we seek stability, as a Christian, seeking stability is seeking Jesus.
Right. And the
right.
And see, an idol, because he really says it in here, is that in Psalm 96, that an idol is worthless.
Mm-hmm.
What's really worth the splendor, majesty, fulfillment,
right.
The spectacular is following God in spite of what you think. And so what happens mm-hmm. with an idol is, and he, by the way, he describes this in Romans chapter 1 pretty well, is that we've exchanged the mm-hmm. glory, the splendor, the majesty, the supernatural work of God for something that we've considered to be more important.
Mm-hmm.
It's only temporary.
Right.
So it's temporal, short term, not going to last, is worthless. And as we head toward these tough times, as we head potentially toward the tribulation, where there's going to have to be a choice made, is that we could think, well, wouldn't it be better if I accepted this new economic system?
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be beneficial for me. And that'll be the rationale for it, by the way.
Right.
The idol is that I never pursued God's answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
I decided it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, God says, well, that's going to be very short-lived. And what you think is good is actually not going to be good.
Right.
I have a different way, which, and this is always interesting to me, is that the different way appears to be harder. Not so good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. Like if I don't follow this new economic system, it's going to harm us, and it doesn't seem very good to me. And God, you're telling me to not take that system, and I'm going to be harmed by it. It doesn't seem like a good thing to me. And God says, actually, what you think is good is going to be turning out not so good.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you think it's going to be harder to follow me, it's going to be actually turning out really good.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the difference is, God says, I can do things supernaturally.
Right.
And that's why I got to teach you. So that I'm glad you kind of brought this up about idols, is that we have to be willing to view, do we think other things are more important than God? And it's really kind of simple. The answer would be absolutely yes if I don't learn to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
It's really simple.
Right.
And you need to follow God, hear God's voice, process with God, let him determine his will for you. And you need people around you, by the way, that can confirm it. So as we've been talking about over the last couple of sessions in the End Times Fridays, there's things happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That are potentially leading to things that are going to be important to understand, and then to ask God, okay, what do you have to say about this? Both in terms of, well, right now, what should I understand? And is this headed toward the tribulation that I might mm-hmm. need to understand that even deeper? And by the way, it's not about follow us or say, you know, here's my prediction with that. Rather, we can give you information Mm-hmm. And all we say is, I think it's time to really pursue God, both short-term in terms of this instability that's coming up, and then does this have any implications for the future? So let me tell you a few pieces of information we've gotten since last time. One, and we keep talking about Israel. Denny's going to address this, these kind of things, but two things are happening in Israel right now. One is that Hezbollah, which is a member on the northern border, Lebanon, is setting fire to basically northern Israel.
Right.
And it's really not good, and it continues. So that's, and we, by the way, I still haven't heard a thing about it in the news.
Yeah, I finally just today and yesterday began to see some mainstream news sources reporting on the crisis in Hezbollah as well.
Okay, good.
But I'm just now seeing it start to show up. And from what Denny's been sharing, this has been going on for quite a while now.
Yeah. And then two is that Gantz, who was of the opposition party to Netanyahu, but they remember, and Denny explained it to us, when they had the war, all the parties, including that one, signed an agreement. Mm-hmm. We're going to support 100% the war. We're going to be unified. We're going to support it. We want you to. Well, because of the weariness of war, the people itself, and of course now the opposition party, are saying, you know, you got to end this, and we can't keep doing this. So he resigned from that coalition. And so basically Netanyahu abandoned that unification agreement and just said, okay, well, then we'll just handle it, you know, as a normal government. So the pressure is on, and we're going to talk to Denny about this, is now that this is happening, where is this going to go? You know, what are you hearing from inside of Israel? Is that going to – and the interesting thing is maybe it's going to assist – actually willingness to go to this peace treaty that is actually foreordained in scripture, that there's a peace treaty that's set up. And I was just talking to Dave Dunkel, Rich Cucciaro about this, is that Hezbollah, if there's going to be truly a peace treaty, they're going to have to be part of it.
Interesting.
And maybe, and I've talked about this with Denny, maybe because they haven't really attacked the center of Israel, just the edge here, the northern edge. Maybe they're
they've displaced a lot of people from it. Yeah.
Maybe they're being a nuisance. So they have to join into that process too. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where it goes. But something's happening, and we'll have Denny on to give us some insight about that, because they are actually they're actually winning Rafah, which is where the Hezbollah leaders are. But, and there's an interesting statement that was made in the article that Denny actually said, is that, and they kind of put this premise out there, which is kind of a true premise, and that is, well, they're challenging Netanyahu and saying, well, you want to eliminate, Hamas. And they said, how could you eliminate Hamas when 2 million people are part of Hamas? And they're all terrorists. You're going to tell me you're going to wipe out 2 million people? You're not going to do that. So his thought of we're going to wipe out Hamas, he said Hamas is more a ideology than even a group of leaders, because the people themselves believe in that ideology.
Right.
So exactly what are you going to do here? See, and that's the question. And that'll be interesting to pursue with Denny. On the economic front, some new information have come out, and that is that nearly two-thirds of Americans, so we're talking about over 200 million people, are struggling financially right now. And so that's the lower class and the middle class. The struggle is that they can't meet their regular monthly bills.
Right.
And the reason for that is a lot of it has to do with housing. That is that rents have gone up.
Rents have gone crazy. Yes.
So that's tough. If you own a house, you might have a decent mortgage. Which, by the way, if you did it during, you know, the last prior to the last 3 years, you got a mortgage at 3 to 4%. You know, and that was great. But okay, that was good. But since then, because mm-hmm. of it, because of inflation and what happened with COVID, is that it skyrocketed housing prices. So now the new prices are much higher.
Right.
It's actually out of reach for most people now. And then the interest rates for mortgages have gone from 3-4% up to 7-8%.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a tremendous increase in real estate taxes because of the increase in prices. The counties, the cities said, hey, let's take advantage of this. And they reassessed everybody.
Mm.
And so your taxes now are way higher, even though you had a house that, right. that had a certain tax attached to it. Now it could be like in Colorado, our taxes have doubled in 2 years.
Wow.
Insurance rates have skyrocketed. So in 2 years, insurance prices are now 50% higher than they were 2 years ago. Well,
mm-hmm.
see, and the middle class and the lower class, that squeezes them, that instead of being able to buy food and things like that, I got to pay that stuff. So they said that 2/3 are really struggling, and they described it as gasping for air. They're having a hard time breathing. It's hard, and you know what that looks like. You know, when you have a hard time breathing, it's mm-hmm. really difficult. And they're saying it's really difficult. They said it was as a result of that there's going to be an increase in foreclosures in houses. Mm-hmm. The commercial real estate is already starting to experience foreclosures because of what happened with the office buildings. And that they believe that because of the overvaluation of houses that are out of sync with the people's ability to pay for them,
right?
That they call it a potential what they call doomsday scenario, where we have another 2008 where everything just starts to collapse on itself. So this is all important information that's being given, and because of it, as I've been processing it. And Dave and Rich and I talked about this actually this morning, is God is asking us to maintain a purity.
Mm-hmm.
And the purity, as he said, is the cleansing and the sanctification by his word, truth, and keep pursuing the truth.
Right.
Have a heart to pursue the truth. And what we received is don't delay in pursuing that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we'd like the audience to receive is, don't get lulled into current, stock market situation or whatever and say, it's going to be fine. There's so much data
mm-hmm.
that is showing that it's not fine. And what I'm saying is, and the message is, there's a great instability happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to ultimately impact us with jobs and money and the ability to pay things and make it economically, which, by the way, God says, if you follow me, I'll give it to you. And so we would urge you to not be lazy about this.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's funny, as you're sharing this, I'm reminded of a simple illustration, but so sweet. Yesterday, I had a bunch of my moms from the Mentor Moms group over and all of their little kids. So my pool was filled with kids 6 and under.
Yep.
Super cute to watch. But one of these moms has 3 little kids, I think 6, 4, and 2 are the ages of her kids. And her 4-year-old was a little fearful of the water, I guess is the best way to put it. And so he was struggling to jump in and struggling to put on different things. And the other two, the 2-year-old and the 6-year-old, like little fish, just having a grand old time. But this one, he really wanted her close by. And it was so sweet because you saw the trust that was already built in this, because as he's sitting there and she's telling him, go ahead and jump in. I'm going to get you. I'll help you. Don't worry. His question to her at four years old was, it's your job to protect me, right? And she said back to him, yes, it's my job to protect you. And he's like, it's your job to protect me, right? He asked again. She's like, yes, it's my job to protect you. And I think there's a sweetness that symbolizes in our walks with God as well.
Yeah.
He has heard day in and day out from her building this trust. It's my job to protect you. It's my job to protect you. Trust me with the step I'm telling you to take. whatever that is. And in this situation, he was in something very scary to him. He didn't want to take the step, he was saying. And so he simply turned to her and asked again, it is your job to protect me, right? I can trust you. And that's a beautiful, in my mind, a beautiful picture of abiding. And even when we talk about a crisis like this, and you're saying, don't delay in the asking, in the seeking, we shouldn't be afraid to turn to him. It's your job to protect me, right? Okay, what's the step? It's your job to protect me, right? What's the step?
Yep.
You know, and trusting what he's saying. And I just thought it was a sweet illustration.
Yeah, yeah. And when you think about this, you know, it says, you know, worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. And worship is giving worth to, believing in, trusting the splendor, which is the grandeur that I've got your, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide to you. Come to me. And it's okay if you need that, you need me to reinforce it.
Yeah.
But as I do reinforce it, get in the water.
Right.
You know,
right.
And trust me, if that's the step I'm asking you to take. Now, by the way, what's important of that is that mom, or God telling us is here's the step I do want you to take.
Yes.
Now it's scary to him, but it was, no, you can take that step. Please take that step. By the way, if it was dangerous, let's say they're by a river and it's fast.
Right.
She would have said, do not get into that water.
Absolutely.
Do not take that step. You see the difference is that
it's
instruction from the one that can protect you.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to say here is that with all this information, underneath the surface, there's a lot of cracks going on right now. And there's data that says you better be careful here. And before you take steps or the steps I do want you to take, have a heart to hear and trust me, don't let an idol get in the way of your own decision making or what you think. Or by the way, getting lazy. But what I see mostly is just laziness. Well, whatever, you know. I'm not going to spend any time on it. God says, well, it's going to behoove you to spend some time on it. You
right.
know? And spending time isn't coming to your own conclusions. And it's not following. And that's why we don't follow anybody's system about it. But what we do say is go to God and start to recognize. He's saying, you really need to pay attention here. Because the consequences could be bigger than you think if you don't. And that's what we're trying to say. So we urge everybody to consider that as we we'll pick it up, continue to look at what does it mean to understand, have wisdom about all this? What do we do with it? What kind of questions do we ask? And then Denny's going to be on to share with us about Israel, because this is big stuff going on right now that we need to understand. So, Father, we thank you for sharing. I thank you that you prompted Kathy to help us understand about idols, a real important truth that do we have a heart to follow you and not have idols in the way, or have we put something in the way that we placed above you and aren't following you? And so we pray that we do follow you and that we eliminate these idols and seek you only. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us. If you have questions brought on from today's podcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.